South Africans doing great things.
His name is Letabo Mokoena. He's founder of Walk Fresh Sneaker Cleaning and Shoe Company. Letabo, thank you so much for joining us this evening. I really appreciate your time, brother.
Thank you so much for having me, Khatman. Wow, man, what a show. I just had a chance to listen to your insert now. Yeah, man, thank you so much for having me.
Listen, like a real privilege. The honor privilege is mine, brother. And let me tell you why.
Yeah.
You don't know this, but there are people in your community that have made us aware of you, your company, and the positive role that you're playing. And for us, it's important to tell the story, because what the story says is that impossible is nothing. Right?
100%.
Yeah? So let's talk of Letabo Mokoena's story and the company Walk Fresh, sneaker cleaning company. Where does it all begin, Letabo? Where does it all begin?
Phew, 8 years later, I started Walk Fresh 2015. After graduating, I think for me, that's why I'm saying this insert is such a very moving insert for me. I stopped doing interviews 3 years ago because I felt like there's no substance in our media houses. Everyone wants their zero to hero story, but no one really is looking at what we're really doing on the ground.
Yeah.
You know? But I started the business 2015, right after varsity. And for me, this show really resonates with me, because unlike so many of my peers, I didn't start Walk Fresh because I didn't have a job. I was in an agency. I just graduated. I was working well, but I just felt like, yo, man, the guys that I left, Hakiyako Skolo, are still where I left them.
Yeah.
There's nothing happening. And I said to the chance, what can we do to build for ourselves? Because no one is coming to save us, Mokasi.
No one's coming to save us, Mokasi, Papa.
It's evident. Like, yeah. Everyone else who's coming into the hood is coming to take, you know?
Yeah.
Be it the billboard, they're coming to take the viewership and all of that, you know? And one day I come back from work, and one of my childhood friends got like cleaning his mom's sneakers. And I said to him, Ntana, why don't you get paid for doing this, dog? Because I would pay you. I don't know how to clean them. Never mind the time. I don't have the time. But even if I did have the time, I wouldn't know. It's sweet, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone laughed at me at the time. You know, everyone was just like, hey, man, now I'm going to talk about the land. This is something that's been done by everyone, everywhere, Kokas, you know? That's why we always say we're not the first people to clean sneakers. We're just the first ones to professionalize it, you know?
Oh, wait. So you're saying to me that that at first, when you even conceived of the idea of commercializing the cleaning of techies, sneakers, people laughed at you because it was such an absurd idea.
No, everyone, like literally, every single one of the boys laughed at me. And I said to them, this is how Magwenya went from being Magwenya to Fit Cake,
Fit Cook Palace.
Fit Cook, yeah, because we don't know how to commercialize. Or rather, we don't have the access of the information or the know-how. You know, but we have these skills. These are things, if you go to our website or you go to our About page, we say these are things that we have inherited. No one knows how to clean a sneaker, we can teach. We know what that means. And there's no textbook that can teach you that. So all of these are things that we've inherited. Ma hotmani, ma dalo polish di bat, you can spirit, dilip ki polish, kwasande uti a door, yeah, that in the room, to speaker. This is our heritage.
Yeah.
How do we then monetize it? Because it seems like everyone else is, but us. You know, similarly, but the people, which is us, who manage to find these things and innovations and all of that, but we never seem to take them to the JSE, you know? So for me, when the idea came, I was like, look, I think we are onto something. And when I went back to varsity at the library, and I did research, and I was like, no one is doing this at this level. Gents, there's something here. Let's see what we can do about it, you know. And following day, I had 700 rand saved for petrol to go to work. got there 700, I got my baguette, I bought scrubs, I bought green bar soaps, and I bought a monthly ticket at the ring, yeah, my touring. We used to rent a monthly at the time, yes. 75 rand.
Yes.
And I went to work using the train. I parked my car and I spent the other money to start my business, you know. And that was 8 years ago. So that's how Work First came about.
Well, let me just go back and see if we can excavate some of the principles that must be identified and spoken about and articulated, Letabo. Because
yeah.
I think what happens is that we fail to see the opportunity because we are not opportunity oriented. We don't look for opportunities in the way that you saw this opportunity. We think that a business idea must be something that is a bolt of lightning that comes, that is brilliantly new and that's never existed before. What I'm hearing you say is that, hey, just look at your life as it is now. There is probably something that you're taking for granted that could be a global business opportunity. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, it goes back to what you said earlier to say life really is now about meaning, right? What that opportunity meant to me, because I spent 6 years doing undergrad and postgrad, how I visualized and how I interpreted the opportunity was completely different from my friends who had been Kokasi the whole 6 years. You know, when I said, gents, I said day one to the boys, we were going to build a franchise. And they said, the franchise, you know? And for me, I was like, look, all of this always happens under our nose. Everyone comes to the hood to take. Everyone who has a nice brand leaves the hood, but every debonair and KFC and McDonald's is coming into the hood. There's something we're not realizing and seeing our hood. That's just under our nose.
Somebody told me once of the idea of the gold at the bottom of the pyramid. And how we are all aspiring to go to the top of the pyramid, right? But actually the gold is at the bottom of the pyramid and we just haven't developed the eyes to see it because we've deceived ourselves with values that don't necessarily even belong to us. And so we are seeing through rose-colored glasses that are making us see distorted realities, yeah?
One of my mentors, the late one, the founder of Luxury Culture, came to my store, got Davidson, and he said to me, Letabo, everyone who lives in the elite serves the masses. So everyone who lives in Stellenbosch is serving Deep Sloot. Their business is fundamentally based in Deep Sloot, whether it's ShopRite or his Builders Warehouse, but they serve the masses. So we go so far to try find our actualization when it's actually back home. If you've read The Alchemist went across the world only to find out everything he's been looking for has been at home, you know. So for me, that's something this show really resonates with me because all I've been saying in the past 8 years, I even started a school to teach kids how to start sneaker cleaning business because I've been saying, guys, all that we've been looking for is actually within us. It's just here, right in front of us. There's enough sneakers for all of us to clean. I can't be the only Letabo who's cleaning sneakers. Let me teach you how to do it. Here's how you start a business. Here's how you register it. Here's what UIF means. Here's what FTL means. If I could do it, you can do it. You know?
So tell me about the principle that you learn from The Alchemist. In other words, the ability to see opportunity where you are. Not only to see it, but to pursue it. Because I sometimes get a sense that it's not so much that we don't see the opportunities, but we just don't know how to pursue them. But somebody could argue, Letabo, that you don't pursue it because you don't actually see it. How did you get to see the cleaning of tackies? As a as a business that is franchisable, that is growable in those terms? How did you see it?
For me, it really is a principle of we have to leave to live, right? For you to see anything, you first have to leave where you are. I had to leave Kokaske Vai, Giekoskela. I live in Cape Town full time now. And that was also part of, okay, I've hit a ceiling with what I've done with sneaker cleaning. Let me go to Cape Town and see what's happening there, right? Your meaning doesn't change until you leave where you are, because you don't know what you don't know. So it took for me to leave school and to leave my township to see, oh man, there's a guy in Little Tokyo called Jason Mark who's getting paid $2 million a year for cleaning sneakers. We can do this for Davidson. We can do this for Soweto. We can do this for Sensing. We can do for Canalog and Cape Town, right? So for me, it also goes back to the exposure that we need to have as kids, whether black or whatever race it may be. Some things we think they come natural to some races, but it's only because of the exposure. So for me, the biggest lesson with the alchemist is that you have to leave first to see things differently, because if you're the coach and the player, you're not seeing anything differently, you know. So for me, post coming back from varsity, I said to the boys, no, gents, how you build a franchise, you need to have SOPs. How you build a franchise, you need to have your own detergents. We manufacture our own detergents. That today we are selling to other sneaker cleaning companies across the country. We host an annual conference every year. We bring over 100 entrepreneurs that clean sneakers. And I said to them, look, no, you're doing it wrong. This is what I did when I was where you are. This is the mistakes. Don't do these mistakes, you know? So for us to get to that point, we had to say, what is everyone else doing, right? You don't know what you don't know. You first have to see have a reference.
Let's talk about Kasi. Let's talk about, Kasi. And
So I'm outside my best friend's house.
Yeah.
We're burying his mother tomorrow.
Oh.
And there's five shots in the background.
Man.
I'm just like, oh my God, what are the chances?
So let's talk a little bit. Let's talk about Kasi and why it is that it has the effect on us of keeping us, in other words, it keeps us within that space without giving us the prospects. What is it about Kasi in the present and its historical sort of legacy that I was talking to somebody a few days ago about a guy whose mind is incredible, but he never left Kasi. He never left. Kasi Rwabizu Rikima Bene Plus. And Chico is has got an amazing brain, amazing mind, right? But his mind never got a chance to stretch out because he never left Kasi. And so his reference point, the way that he interprets certain things has been very limited. Not because he's dumb, because I think he's actually a genius, this guy, right? Yeah. But because he never left Kasi, for whatever reasons, there are many different reasons why he never left Kasi, that brilliant mind stayed underdeveloped. It was dwarfed. It stayed small because... Yeah. Now, I want you to tell me, what is it about Kasi? I've got my own thoughts, right? Because I'm a Kasi boy as well. Nuggets for mom's brother and me. So here's the thing. What is it about Kasi that keeps us there and that robs us of the opportunity to see?
So Khotmani, when Kasi does that, it actually does what it's designed to do. When we deal with case in point, Chico,
sure,
that's what it's designed to do. First and foremost, because we are labor camps. If we interrogate that reality and that fact, that historical fact, And once we interrogate it and we confront it, then we understand that we don't even belong in these spaces. It was a physical adjustment for the apartheid system and regime. These are labor camps. And because it's a labor camp, I'm sure it doesn't have more than two entrances.
Sure.
Structurally, as they are designed, even physically, I was arguing with my girlfriend. I'm saying, you guys are doing architecture, but you're not doing anything to the townships in terms of design.
Mm.
So it is designed to keep you there. It's doing its job. It's designed to keep you there. That's why it's important for us to step out. No. That's it working at prime level. That's the system working at prime level. You get what I'm saying?
I so get what you're saying. So I was talking to somebody yesterday. I when I was a kid, I was a bedwetter. And one of the things that I used to do is that in the dead of winter, just when it's very cold, I'd pee in my bed.
Mm.
Because there'd be a warmth there.
Mm.
there'd be a beautiful warmth, man. It was body temperature stuff, and it was cold. It was excellent. Mm. And then over time, that pee would start to get cold.
Mm.
And then I'd remember how uncomfortable it was. And I think that Kasi has that effect.
Mm.
That for a short time, you feel a warmth.
Yes.
And that's when we romanticize stuff and we, you know,
yes.
And it's nice and it's kukasi, wafana wakukasi, there's a specific culture and all of that stuff is that warmth. Until that warmth makes us, if we don't wake up, we realize that we are frogs that have been staying in warm pee and being cooked all along, right? So many of us don't get the chance to escape the purpose for which Kasi was built, and that is to create a concentration camp or a labor camp, right? And so I love the fact that you understand it for what it is. What is it that made you leave? What is it that made you make the decision to get out of the warmth? Of the warm pee?
I was so fortunate. I had an uncle who is late now. We actually, it's officially a year now. He's late. He got an opportunity through a scholarship to go study optometry. So what my uncle used to do every time he came back home at the end of each semester would sit at my grandmother's Hamagogo, and he will tell me all the stories about varsity.
Welcome to Over, baby.
Yeah, my uncle always, I was so fascinated by those stories.
That's the university of life, Papa.
So I owe. That's why his loss. Just I was distraught. I was admitted to a mental hospital because of his loss. But that's a chat for another day.
Yeah.
But I was fortunate enough to have access to that imaginary. He used to tell me all the stories about all the semesters. Really, but I can qualify for exam. Hey, that lecture out the 2% and whatever. We went there, and I'm a little teflop at the time.
Yes.
I had teflop. And I think from those stories, I knew that I had to go to varsity. And go scared, I'm a real scheme, you know, we always have a scheme.
Yeah.
And I was go scheming, but I was the only one who qualified to go to varsity. And I remember the first year of registration, I was in a queue. My mother called me and said, "Umogai, kira, makimogai, awo itangogai." Trikotawatla Space.
Ranza Afrikaanse Universiteit.
Yes. I still remember the pregnant pause my mom had.
I'm forgetting that I must translate some of the stuff you say because.
Oh no!
So Letabo tells of how his uncle was a big part of the inspiration for him to dare to believe that he was a worthy candidate for education.
It was
because of his uncle sitting at a stove, and many people who grew up in the township will know exactly what this is, sitting at a stove, that cold stove during winter. That's where some of the deepest conversations take place. We call it umhabulo. Where we get deep esoteric explanations from uncles and elders about life. If we are willing to listen, and it appears to me that Letabo was willing to listen, and he ended up going to the Rand Afrikaanse Universiteit RAU to go and apply, and he had a conversation with his mother. His mother said to him, "Hey, what you doing there?" He said, "Listen, I'm trying to apply to become a student at this university." And his mother gave him a pregnant silence, he calls it, a pregnant silence. And that pregnant silence was a silence that wanted to know, how are we going to pay for your school fees? And he said, there are people that are coming from as far as Venda that are here to come and seek for an education. And that is where we stopped the conversation. Letabo, tell me something. What did you say to your mother when she asked that question?
My uncle had a famous saying, like a ghost. That means, or deal with whatever happens. I still live by that to this day, to say, look, let's go in. Whatever happens, we'll deal with it. I said to my mom, "Hey, mama, I like a ghost." And she said, "Stop talking like your uncle."
Stop talking like your uncle. Get a respectable job.
You're not your uncle, you.
Thank God for your uncle. Yeah. Listen, you know, I have a conversation every Wednesday with a guy by the name of Stanley Beckett.
Mm.
And he's developed 10 commandments for achieving your financial goals.
Mm.
And one of the commandments that he teaches is that don't worry about the how. Understand the what. And many times he says that we sabotage our growth and development because we worry about the how. And when you say ghost, it almost sounds like a reinterpretation of one of his commandments to say don't worry about the how.
100%.
Yeah. Don't worry about the how. Just be clear about what you want. And very often, Letabo, the reason why we don't get what we want is because we don't know it.
Yes.
And he continues to say that when we have decided on what we want, when we have made that decision, that this is what I want, then the universe begins to conspire in ways that are beyond our understanding. It begins to conspire. Yeah, it begins to conspire.
It has to.
Sure. Now, part of the reason why we have this particular slot is to have that conversation, to say to Ma'au Tiago Gas, Ibo Chico, to say, guys, decide what you want. Decide what you want, and then we'll let it go ghost.
Yeah, 100%.
I want to take a quick call from Helen in Pretoria. Helen, good evening to you. Hello, Helen. What's happening? Why am I not...
Hi.
Yeah, hi, Helen. Go ahead.
How are you?
Very good. Thank you, Helen. What's on your mind?
So I just want to get a grasp of how you managed to get yourself into the national framework, to say. So my hubby has been on the market to try to get his business going, and I'm trying to understand how else he could literally help him to reach a point where he's on a marketable level.
I think I always get this question, and the answer is still the same. There's no shortcut to it, right? And what I mean by no shortcut to it is that you have to put in the work. And someone will go further and say, what is the work? The work is, if we say Colgate, people think toothpaste, every toothpaste is Colgate. But it's actually, there's Sensodyne, there's, sorry, Para Obi, to give these guys
free. No, do your thing, brother.
But to answer the question directly, I don't have a magic wand answer. It's really, how do you put in the work and how do you become consistent? We have a rule at Work Fresh. If we put in enough work, they'll come to us. We've never put in any application to work with any brand. We've worked with every other sneaker brand. We've worked with Nike, whatever, you can name them. But in us working with them, we don't have any application or presentation. It's us saying, if we keep doing what we're doing and we're doing it well, someone is out to see us. Just as I'm in this radio station today, I didn't apply to be in this radio station, but because of the work that I've been putting on the ground, someone sees you and someone is definitely out to give you an opportunity. So there's no shortcut to it.
You got to be undeniable. You got to be undeniably present.
That's my answer.
All right, let's speak to Mike in Alberton. Hi, Mike.
What?
Yeah, go for it, Mike. Hello, Mike. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, my brother. Go ahead. What is on your mind?
My agenda of the thing, Aubrey, on that point whereby we're talking about, like, now, I'm actually lost because there's all those things I want to talk about it, like, now, because the only thing I want to talk about it, there's other things you're talking about along the way during your show. You make a lot of valid points along the way. But there's certain questions about the callers we are calling you, where I don't concur with them. There are certain questions. Which is the first question was, when they asked you, whereby we asking the, because they're busy to tell, like, no, fuck your show. What about? He said, nah, you're doing your show, Mike. Aubrey, you're doing your show.
I think we've lost Mike.
Yeah.
There was a bit too much twanging there that I didn't get the full essence of what Mike was saying. Yeah. Did you get him?
I literally, as he was talking, I was about, okay, but he's going to interpret this to me.
Yeah, no, okay, so I didn't get it as well. So, but by the way, we would love for you to give us a call, 011-883-0702. I'm talking to Letabo Mokoena. He's the founder of Walk Fresh Sneaker Cleaning and Shoe Care Company. The sneaker cleaning culture in townships is big. It's as old as the townships themselves. And what this young man was able to do was to take something that had become such a norm, so normal, that he commercialized it and he created a company.
Yes, sir.
And the company is now 8 years old. It employs people sustainably. Not only does it employ people sustainably, it teaches the entrepreneurial principles to other businesses, but also to children. You know, one of the things, Letabo, that I have come to understand is a big lack globally, but more so in our environment, Gordigas, is the ability to think offensively, to think
Progressively,
but I want to use the word offensive. In other words, to disrupt. Let me say, disruptively, to think disruptively. That we tend to be, as much as we sometimes want to sound like we are revolutionary. but we are still in a very conformist way of thinking. Even the kinds of businesses
we... It's easy to be a revolutionary until the revolution comes.
All right. We're being naughty now. Listen, how do we start a way of thinking? A way of thinking that says, I don't need permission. How do we start a way of thinking that says, for as long as I need validation from those who laugh at my ideas, then my ideas will always be laughable? How do we start a way of thinking? And I imagine that those are some of the conversations you have with the conferences and the kids that you educate. How to start thinking in ways that are not asking for permission for thoughts to be in your mind, and then to start to behave and live according to those thoughts.
At my conferences annually, I have 2023 coming up in October. I always have a good friend of mine, Banele Riwo. He has a friend. He's a good friend. His book is called The Mentality to Have Before Starting a Business, right? But the reason why I always have him at my conferences and workshops is because he understands fundamentally what's the requirement for us to be where we are and all of that. And this also goes back to what you said earlier before I came on the show about meaning, right? Yep. So for me, it really always boils down to how we value ourselves as a people and how we see ourselves, not how someone says, this is who you are, this is what you... How I see myself as Letabo stepping out of my grandmother's house every morning, right? And that's the first step. You can have all the capital you want in this business space. You can have all the networks, but until you see yourself as someone who's worthy, until you see yourself as someone who's worthy of all of that, and there's no school for that, unfortunately. There's no class that can teach you that. It's really us conscientizing you to your current reality and say, Chief, if everyone who was part of the struggle was doing all of that for themselves, we wouldn't be here today. All of this is about paying it forward. All of this is about playing your role and passing the baton. So it's really about what do you want your mark to be? that's my departure point. People always say, what do you want your legacy to be? My legacy, I always say, how many tables did I create? How many Letabos did I create? And they woke up and say, look, I can do this. I'm worthy of this. Whether Letabo is there or not. Actually, I'm grateful for Letabo, but it's fine.
Let's talk a little bit about this. I've got a little bit more time, so I really want to.
Let's go.
So this idea of being worthy is a very important idea. People that already have that understanding don't understand why it's such an important idea, right? But this idea that I am worthy, again, in a conversation that I had very recently with Stanley Beckett, he makes the very interesting distinction about the difference between faith and believing. He says that to have faith means that you believe that it is possible to have prosperity. Yeah. To believe is to believe that it is possible for you.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's this general idea that I'm worthy. We are worthy. We're young, gifted, and black, you know? We are the descendants of the Kemet. we built the pyramids. Okay, fine. Sharp. no problem. But how does that idea, How does that idea turbo boost you? Understand? So my question is, how do we step from believing, I mean, from faith to believing? How do we get to a place where we personalize this thing? That we don't just generalize it and talk about, oh, no, you know, ancient Egyptians, we Africans, we built the pyramid. Sure, it's good, man. But my issue is, how does that translate into inspiring me, Aubrey, to be a manifester of that which I am meant to manifest? Where, how do I begin to build my own pyramid? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
How do we get there, Letabo?
But Obi, the best inspiration is reality. I don't think anything will inspire you more than something you can touch and feel. And once you touch and feel it, then you realize this thing is real. Therefore, it's doable. With all these other things, the pyramid, it's third party information. It's hearsay. Even if you go to Egypt and touch the pyramid, conceptually, you are not there. You cannot rush. She's good.
Sure.
And times change. Times change. What was important in 94 is not important today. Except for land, by the way.
Yeah.
But for me, the best reality and the best wake up and the best inspiration is to say, if our ops can have this section and this show, and all I've wanted to do in my life is to be on a radio show. And Braob's parks next door to my house. Ah, this thing is doable, guys.
This thing's doable.
It's human nature. If Braob's can do it, I can do it. It's human nature. It's not even complacent. It's not khunyata. It's human nature.
Sure.
But if you can do it, I mean, we are humans.
For sure.
That's why I said to you, Braob's, for me, it's really about how many other guys can we get to see things how we see them? Because with us, it's a matter of information.
Yeah.
None of this is rocket science. When I was manufacturing the detergent, before I started doing that, I thought, look, hey, I'm a chemical scientist, because until I started doing that, I was like, oh my God, the template is there. It's actually free. I just have to find a lab to do this thing.
Listen,
and how it's structured is because it's been done by a certain race. I've always been scared of it because I thought it was technical. It's not.
Yeah. Just do it.
Just do it. Yeah, and once you do it, it becomes a reality. And I said to my team, you can't sell this detergent to other sneaker cleaning businesses. Gary, you're working from fear. You're operating from a point of fear and not abundance.
Tell me, bro, how big is the business now? And are you making money?
We're doing a capital raise. We're doing a 10-bar capital raise right now. I'm about to sign the team sheet on Thursday, so that should give you enough information.
It's music to my ears, brother.
It is
music to my ears. No, it's almost go and fetch the paper, brother. Go and fetch the paper. Let me say this
to you
as we part ways. This is a hard truth, but it's a truth all the same.
Yes.
Ultimately, nobody cares about your speeches.
No.
Ultimately, nobody cares about your story. Ultimately, it's whether or not you make us listen. And my brother, you have made us listen. Your story is undeniable. And I'm hoping that those that have been listening, and I've been doing this a long time, I know when people are listening. People have been listening. I hope that your story continues to inspire somebody to understand that they are worthy. That it is not just a matter of It is possible, but it is possible for you, Chico. It is possible for you, Sipo. It is possible for you, Daphne. It is possible for you. Because until we start to hold on to that reality, we are just claiming. It's just hearsay. So I wanna stand up as I stand up and thank you for your courage, for your business. And just not stopping, bruh. Because this is how you got to where we are now, having this conversation. I want to thank you, and I want you to keep going, brother, so that one day we can look back and say that conversation was only the beginning. How do people get in touch with you, my brother?
Walkfresh SA on all the platforms. Letabo Offresh on my personal platforms. And I always promote the business before I promote myself, because Magna Langley, I don't know how to be a celebrity.
you're getting there fast, believe me. You're getting there very fast.
But it's Walkfresh SA for us. And thank you so much for the opportunity. And like I said, I've been on a 3-2 years hiatus from interviews, because I felt like, ish man, everyone is really interested in the zero to hero story, on the poverty story, and no one is engaging us as human beings who are living in this country and have lived experiences, and no one is engaging us as intellectuals who have opinions about certain societal issues. And the opening of this show, when I was listening before I came on, I was like, "Oh, okay, this is refreshing."
There's something new, huh?
Listen,
my brother. I've got to let you go because I'm going to take the news. But it's been a privilege talking to you. Letabo Mokoena, founder of Walk Fresh Sneaker Cleaning and Shoe Care Company, a South African doing great things.